Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Tony and Melissa in the morning on WICC 600, sponsored by Selco Heating and Air Conditioning.
All right, we've got 740 now here at WICC 600. With us here on the telephone line is Jenny Curry, professional counselor in Milford. Good morning, Jenny. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm feeling grateful that me and my family are healthy.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. I think all of us feel that way, those of us who are escaping this terrible, terrible disease this morning. Now, this morning, we're talking about routines and how this out of sorts sort of thing is impacting families. Everyone is out of a routine. People working from home, kids doing online schooling. What do you find is happening with people who are off with their routines?
You know, what I'm finding is that when you're off with your routine, you feel like you're off with everything in life. And, you know, it's something that I have to fight too, and with my own family, as, you know, nothing, for the most part, nothing is really the same. And when you're kind of just kind of going through the motions, or you don't know what motions to go through, you're kind of feeling out of it or sluggish, it just kind of makes you feel that much more unproductive and even uncertain. I think when we don't have routines, it also can really it just fuel the anxiety that's already there. Because
yeah.
Nothing, you know, it feels normal.
And I want to express this, Jenny, and I don't know if you're finding this with you and Kent, if you're finding this versus your children. Growing up, mm-hmm. I always knew my mom and dad felt very strongly about when we'd come back from vacations, get the kids back into routine. And I understood mm-hmm. the kids need routine. I totally get that structure. I'm seeing it with my own son. But my mm-hmm. husband and I this weekend realized that I don't know who has it worse, honestly. We are very out of routine. I mean, for the most part, I'm doing kind of what I've been doing, which is coming to work. But my husband's working from home. He's seeing Chase more during the day and balancing, kind of being a stay-at-home dad while working, which is very out of his comfort zone. And I think he's finding, too, you know, he's used to going to the gym every day. That's out of his routine. We're going a little plum loco. So, you know, do you find that who has the harder time, kids or adults, when they're off their routines?
Gosh, you know, I think it may be about even, you know, and it's funny. By the end of last week, as I was finishing with my clients, I felt like week two of the quarantine and the isolation got real. It got real. Like, vacation was over. Everybody was trying to figure out what the heck am I doing? And I may have to figure this out for kind of the long term. And I think that was kids and adults alike. I know that I was feeling that way as well. So I know I'm not alone. And in our own ways, we each have to kind of figure that out. But as the adults, we really have to help our kids with that.
We're speaking with Jenny Curry, professional counselor in Milford, talking about routines. All of us are out of our normal daily routine with what's going on in the world. Are there ways to practice staying on a routine? That's kind of difficult, isn't it?
It is. But you know what? I love the phrase new normal. And I think we have to at least find, for now, a temporary new normal. And the great thing about a routine is you can establish a new one anytime you want, right? So I know that a couple things that have been really helpful for me, and I know for my clients, are, you know, getting outside whenever possible is huge. And not only just for the fresh air, the playtime, but also it's great exercise. And I also cannot overemphasize the importance of exercise enough, because most of us are taking far fewer steps. We're inside, we're getting less vitamin D. And, you know, the exercise is great for so many reasons, not only your waistline, right? But it's also huge for stress relief and releases all those endorphins. That should definitely be part of the routine.
Mm. And, you know, is this something, Jenny, I mean, there's really no math behind it, but is it mm-hmm. something that you kind of, you sit down maybe with your spouse and you write down a plan of this is what your day should look like now with the new norm? And do you practice it for 2 weeks and see if it kind of sticks, or, you know, do you go mm-hmm. back to the drawing board? You know, how do you actually go about making a new routine? Like, those are some great tips, but how do you now put those into practice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sitting down, definitely talking with, you know, your spouse, your partner, whoever, and even if your kids are old enough, with your family to discuss how is this going to work, you know, for us going forward, and also not being afraid to tweak it if you need to. you know, in our house, we start off in the morning. I actually just came back from my run. That's usually what I do in the morning. And then kind of get the kids fed. And then we do the schoolwork in the morning, some in the afternoon if we need to, but really try and focus on that in the morning. And then we have kind of decided, you know, a lot of times my husband and I to designate certain nights as, you know, maybe it's movie night or it's game night or it's, we did like bonfire night. And so then those kind of become also on certain nights and part of our continued routine. And, you know, if it doesn't work, then, you know, we adjust it. And my husband and I have kind of had to make some adjustments as well for him and I both working at home.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was going to say, the other thing is also, I think it's really important to include, if you can, any routines that you had in the past that you can continue doing, even if it's like a favorite show that you have. Because I think some of those things help us just hold on to still some sense of normalcy and stability.
I was going to say, Jenny, before we let you go, when you talk about your mm-hmm. husband and even yourself, I know both of you are usually out of the house to do your jobs. How has that mm-hmm. kind of been now doing them from home, but also you have the kids with you full time now? So what is that like?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, my dear husband is like, I really have even so much greater appreciation for all that you do because I can hear it upstairs all the time.
Right.
And so that's definitely been that, like, he's had to kind of flex some of his hours, and I have tried to be fairly consistent, but definitely with the family if I am not on a call. So, I mean, it's been challenging, like everybody, absolutely more challenging. And also, I just have to remember to try and take a little time for myself, which is always important in the routine as well, just to keep my sanity, because we really are all in this together. We feel each other's pain.
Yeah, I think it comes down to this. Do the best that you can. What else can you do?
Do the best that you can.
Yeah.
Exactly. And just don't go for perfection, you know, mm-hmm. like realistic expectations.
All right. Sounds good. Jenny, we've run out of time, but if people want to talk to you, what can they do?
Sure. They can go to 203-293-8554, or they can check me out at JennyCurryCounseling.org. Jenny with a Y, Curry with an IE.
All right. Sounds good. Jenny, thank you so very, very much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
Tony and Melissa in the morning on WICC 600, sponsored by Selco Heating and Air Conditioning.
Okay, we are joined this morning by Jim Marpy, and he is the first selectman in Westport. And Mr. Marpy, thank you for joining us this morning. How you doing?
I'm great, Tony. How are you? And Melissa, good morning to you as well.
All right, we're doing great. So glad you're here. Now, Westport continues to have some of the highest numbers of COVID-19 cases. How's your town holding up?
Well, actually, I think very well, and the reason is, believe it or not, because we were among the earliest of the communities in Connecticut to have a significant number of cases. I think at least people testing positive. I think that's made our all of our community wake up to the reality of this virus and the challenge that the health challenge that it presents to all of us, and the need to stay inside as much as possible.
And Jim, I don't know what you've been hearing, so I'd love to get your take on this. We actually have some friends in my parents' neighborhood who reached out to me directly saying they've gone north to either Vermont or Maine if they've got property up there or friends that they have who live up there to escape the virus, essentially. But they've actually been inundated with New Yorkers who are doing the exact same thing. In your opinion, do you just stay put? Is it safer to just stay in Westport, or is it okay that people are kind of flocking elsewhere to just make sure that they don't get the virus?
Well, that's a personal choice. Certainly, the more distance you are from neighbors and just not having the opportunity to go out and be among people, it's likely you're less likely to catch the virus. But again, a community like Westport, largely not open, all open space for sure, but distances between houses not as densely populated as some of our cities are. And I think that there are people who have second homes here in Westport who spend their weeks in New York City and who've come out to their homes out here for similar reasons. So I know there are some people in Westport who've, as you say, have gone north or farther distances where population density is less, but I think you can experience some of the same thing here as well.
Yeah, that's. I mean, is there any escaping the virus? I mean, unless you're on Gilligan's Island, there's no escaping it. It's everywhere.
Well, I spoke to a good friend of mine who lives in the Big Sky, Montana.
Ah.
So far, they're not facing it quite the way we are. That said, there are cases of people testing positive there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, to your point, I don't think there's any real escaping this, and I think other parts of the country that perhaps haven't been visited the way Connecticut or New York has been visited by this terrible virus will be experiencing it to one degree or another. Frankly, I hope they aren't, and I'd love for that to just taper off in some way, but there's no question the less we can be among each other and gathering, which is just kind of counter to the way human beings behave, the less we can do that, the more likely we're going to bend the curve, kind of contain it perhaps better than we've had in the past.
Now, Jim, you do bring up a really good point, actually, that you have a lot of New Yorkers who have second homes in Westport. We know that the governor is not going to shut down the border, at least not right now. He doesn't see where that would be very helpful because people are still working in New York, and he's kind of relying on residents to make the right call and quarantine themselves. What are you seeing in Westport with people coming in from New York? I mean, how are your feelings? Do you think that more should be done to keep New Yorkers out?
I think the most important message I can keep delivering is if you're here, stay inside, don't gather. The concept of shutting the borders, if you will, when you think about how much we depend on deliveries that probably come out of New York, maybe not the city itself, but come across the state line. So it gets a little difficult to say who should be here, who shouldn't be here. So let's focus on what we can control, which is by staying inside as much as possible, not gathering, taking walks, but not with a group of people. The weather has kind of helped that the last few days, but pretty soon spring will truly arrive here. It'll be sunny. People want to be out. And it's not exactly a long extended snow day, but that's maybe still the feeling. But we've got to discipline ourselves to stay inside and stay away from each other as much as possible.
We're joined this morning by Westport First Selectman Jim Marpy. Now, what are you finding with public parks and beaches? We know Norwalk Mayor Harry Rilling has stopped vehicular traffic for the city locations, but does it make a difference to your area?
It made a real difference at Campo Beach, which I think many of your listeners may know, a really beautiful beach. But the very first weekend where this began to be a problem here, we closed off parking at our beaches because people flocked to that beach, wanted to just be out in the air and see other people. And in fact, we were simply having too much gathering. People were in too close proximity. So we've closed all the parking at our beaches, and that has helped cut down on that. Even at our dog park, where we have the opportunity historically for at least for part of the park for dogs to run free, we've asked everybody now to and we're demanding that everybody keep their dogs on leash. We all, at least not everybody loves dogs. I love dogs. But our furry friends were causing people to get too close together, and again the same problem. So I hope I don't have to close parks, but we will be considering that constantly if we think it's causing people to gather too much.
Jim Marpy, we've run out of time, but thank you so much for taking a few minutes, and hopefully this thing, we could put it behind us as soon as possible. But I hope you're open to coming back on with us several more times before it is over.
Always always open to that. And I just want to give a shout out again to our town employees and our teachers for trying to do the best they can to keep Westport operating. Maybe not exactly as normal, but making sure that our public safety protection and public health protection continues.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a good day.
It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
All right. We talk with Fran Mako. She's from AAA, and it's always a pleasure to speak. Franny, how are you this morning?
Very good. And you?
Oh, we're doing okay. You? We're hanging in there. You know, we're doing our thing. This whole coronavirus thing has done a number on gas prices. What's going on here? This is unbelievable.
Yes. Oh, let's party like it's 2016 here. As of this morning, national gas prices have broken the $2 mark. We are now averaging nationally $1.99. This is the first time in 4 years. The last time we've seen anything like this was, I think, in late April of 2016. And in the meantime, Connecticut is not far behind. Today, I think the average price is $2.14. I think it dropped like a penny just overnight, a penny. I'm kind of rounding. And I've discovered that about 76% of our gas stations in our state now are selling gas for less than $2.25. Another 27% is selling gas for less than $2. And let's see, there's only 1%, and I wish I knew where you guys were, selling gas less than $1.75.
All right.
Wow.
Fran, I go to a website called BridgeportGasPrices.com. Okay.
That's our competitor.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's okay.
Okay, but I'm seeing here there's at least 8 stations ranging in towns from Bridgeport, Stratford, Fairfield, $1.95, $1.98, $1.99. You know, there's like 8 of them that are selling it for under $2.
That's insane.
Okay. See, the difference between ours is fuelgagereport.com. We're doing average. They're doing actual.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So you got to remember, folks, you know, unfortunately, in Lower Fairfield County, where everything is always higher, gas price averages are higher as opposed to Windham and Middlesex County.
Sure.
So from Bridgeport down all the way through Greenwich, prices, the average is anywhere between $2.27 and $2.29. So they're kind of bringing the entire state up in their average. That's why we're saying the average in Connecticut is $2.14. Those are actual gas station prices.
Gotcha.
And I don't track that.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
Makes sense.
My mistake. I'm sorry.
Oh, That's quite all right. It's always good to know, though, that people can get a deal. But like I like to say is we're all gassed up and we have no place to go.
Yeah. Now, if I'm wrong, tell me, didn't gas prices, a barrel of oil now was under $20. Is that true?
In fact, I think over the weekend it hit $19.
Okay.
Which is so incredibly, I mean, the last time I think they saw anything under $20 was in 2002.
Wow.
And I can't remember what was going on in 2002. I mean, I don't know what was going on in the world at that time to make gas, you know.
It was the year after 9/11. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. It was right after 9/11.
Oh, yeah, true. Maybe that could have done that. That could have had an effect on it.
Yeah.
And people weren't traveling again. How soon we forget?
No, it was a long time ago. Fran, I do think you brought up something really interesting, which is that we're not really going anywhere. I mean, a lot of people aren't going anywhere. But, you know, my mom noticed maybe a week or two ago that this is around the time that she actually puts her car back on insurance. She has a car that she doesn't use during the wintertime because it's terrible, let's just say. So she, you know, she realized, I got to get maintenance done to it. I have to imagine a lot of cars are going to start needing maintenance done, but they're not really running right now. A lot of people aren't running their cars.
Wait. That's a very, very good point. Just because you're not putting miles on your car doesn't mean you shouldn't take care of it. I mean, there's a good chance that if your car is not being used for an extended period of time, you're going to have a dead battery, There can be a buildup of condensation in the gas tank. You know, and now actually is the perfect time to start doing things. If you're working from home like I am, there's a lot of things that you've overlooked in the past or ignored because you simply haven't had time. Now is a good time to start, you know, on some minor do-it-yourself car maintenance. I mean, the easiest thing to do is just fill your tank and add a gas stabilizer to extend your life of the fuel. I mean, and it depends. Like, I go out to the doctor's or sometimes to the grocery store, so I'm using my car. But there's a lot of folks that are really sheltering in place, and they can't leave their house. So you need to at least fill your tank up to the brim. You need to inflate your tires. You certainly don't want to get flat spots. And the proper pressure is always found in your manual or on that little placard on your driver's side door. And if you can, take your car for a spin once a week for a half hour. Even if you have to drive along the beach, I mean, people will say, well, it's a waste of gas. Well, we have got a lot of gas out there to waste, so to speak. Make sure your battery terminals are clean and tight. I mean, this is stuff you can do yourself, or take it to your professional. I mean, I understand that gas stations and repair places, they're considered essential businesses, so they're still open. And I'm sure they're looking for work to do. These are just things that you as a car owner could do on your own without professional assistance.
Yeah, no, those are some great tips. Fran Mako with AAA, if people want to get in touch with you, learn more information, where can they go?
Sure. You could go on our website at AAA.com, and you could link to a link called News and Safety. There's a lot of information on there, a lot of news releases. There's a lot of information about car maintenance on that website. So it's something, it's a good thing to do. A wise man once said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Mm. And it's probably, I can't say that I came up with that. but it certainly would be effective during a time like this.
All right, Fran. Listen, we've run out of time, but thank you so much. We're going to talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, take care now.